The sparrows now worry about tomorrow, oh, the troubles to come. The lilies now thinking about the seasons, the drought or the flood. The tree that's planted by the water isn't fazed by the fire. So why should I be? 'Cause you take good care of me. The sun's not worried about the winter, 'cause soon it will pass. The light's not thinking about the darkness or the shadow it casts. A heart that's planning its forgiveness doesn't dwell in the past. So why should I be? 'Cause you take good care.
Thirsty buffaloes, a pride of hungry lions.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everybody. Sometimes on Wednesdays after work, you just want to go home and crawl up in the bed and take a good old nap before dinner. But God's going to honor us being here. I'm thankful to see this crowd every Wednesday night. We had such a good turnout for the marriage counseling last night, and it was an honor to see some of the elders here. And I say elders with respect because it puts a smile on my face. The wife, which is a blessing to say that, amen. But we were pulling in and we saw Sister Mary Lou and Brother Ronnie. It was such a blessing to see them. It's like, why would they need marriage counseling, or why would they even be here in the first place? They've been together for X amount of years. It's like, really? But it was a true blessing to see them because they're not only just doing it for themselves if they even need the counseling. Not saying they do by any means, okay? But it showed Kylie and I, hey, they're still doing what they can do right now, in this very moment. And also, too, it was an encouragement to us. We've been married for 3 months, and that was kind of funny to say in the class, too, because we all had to do an introduction, and you're here in 10 years and a year. But we were like, yeah, 3 months, you know. But anyways, I'm going to go over a couple announcements for June. June 10th, we have the Oasis Catfish King. It's 5 p.m. Sign-up sheets in the foyer. The 11th is the bake sale. Also, that 11th is Youth Sunday. Get a round of applause for Youth Sunday. I'm excited to see what God's doing. The 12th and the 16th is our camp, our youth camp. 14th is missionary. We'll have Troy Wickett and the family from the Similone Islands. And then the 18th through the 21st is the Kids Crusade. 24th is the Journeys, Ladies Downtown Coffee at 8:30 in the morning. The 25th is the Mission Pledge. That's when it's due. And the 27th is the Ladies United Fellowship. And they're meeting at Taco Delight, 6:30. We're going to go ahead and just do prayer requests too. You know, you never know what people are going through. And in my line of business, I'm meeting new faces. I'm seeing familiar faces each and every day. And I've been, you know, doing a little bit here and there with the youth. And it's such a blessing to see those young kids worship. But I was sitting there thinking the other night, I was meditating. I was praying. And there wasn't but a couple kids in that praying after for altar. Because how Brother Stephen said it, he said, if you feel the need to pray, stay and pray. If not, you know, you're dismissed and you can go do whatever you want to do. And I saw a handful of kids there, and I'm like, man, I could go home right now. I could just leave. I'm good. But the Lord, he wanted me to stay. So I stayed. And I prayed. And as I was praying, the Lord, he was talking to me. And I was going back. When the disciples were on that boat, and Jesus was on that boat, they were terrified, petrified. they're like, God, you know, you need to save us. You need to wake up. Somebody out there could be going through a storm and you have no idea, but a smile goes miles. And this is what this church is about. It's to fellowship. It's to greet one another. It's not fun being here every Wednesday, every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, but it's what we're called to do. Everybody has their calling in their life, and this is what it is. It's to be a part of this church, and it's such a blessing to see y'all each and every Wednesday night. Our crowd is growing, praise the Lord, but you know, that's not what it's about. It's about our relationship with the Lord, and I'm so thankful for y'all, so I'm just going to go over a couple prayer requests real quick, we'll get right into the service. Brother Morton, he put this up here. It's Ben Strong. He needs a healing. He had a heart attack, okay? So y'all be praying for that need. Bill Robertson, Mike and Paula, Hannah Mann, Brother Charles Fleming, Sis Dickey, Patrick, Denny Hines, Angie Ashton, Dusty Stewart, the Randy Dawn Armstrong, Greg Baker, Courtney Gerbansky, Bonnie Stringer, Sis Ella Mae Bristow, and Nelda Doss. There's so many healings that need to be taking place, okay? But I'm a firm believer that God is a healer and he's our deliverer. All we need to do is just call on his name. So please worship as she sings, okay? Thank you.
I pray that the fear inside would flee, and she. this time, we'll take our Wednesday evening offering. It's good to see each of you here. Thank you, Jesus, for the opportunity to get to come into this room and have air conditioning and benches to sit on and mics to sing through and instruments to play. God, I pray that you would bless us as we make ourselves a living sacrifice. It's not about the blessing, just getting to live is a blessing, but we're thankful for it, God. I pray that you would be with Brother Dickey tonight as he preaches, God. Strengthen his body from the top of his head to the sole of his feet. Thank you, Jesus, for this church. In Jesus' name.
Praise the Lord, everyone. It's good to be in the house of the Lord tonight. Hallelujah. Thank you, sister, for that beautiful singing. You may be seated. I feel like it is such an honor to be here, to be able to do this at this stage in this situation in my life. Back after the Lord had touched me, I did a clumsy thing sometime in the winter, and I walked out the door early in the morning to get the kids ready to go to school because my daughter-in-law was going to be out of town on her job. And so I rushed out the door and down the ramp, and it didn't look wet or icy, but it was. And I found myself on my back real quickly, and I laid there in front of the big window, and I thought, surely somebody will see me or hear me. But we have a film across the window to keep the sun out. And so after laying there for a while, nobody came along, living in the country and no neighbors, I decided it was me and God that was going to have to get me up. So I rolled off over the side of that, picked myself up, dragged myself back in. And I've been suffering a little bit ever since then. I'm supposed to have hip surgery anytime. So don't think that I'm being dishonorable or not respectful by not standing at times. I try to save all my energy for what I've got to do or what I need to do. And I do love and appreciate the Lord. Many times I'm sitting there and people are standing and worshiping, I'm thinking, I hope people don't read me wrong and think that I'm just being disrespectful. But I do love the Lord tonight. I'm thankful to be in His house. I got to bring my three granddaughters with me. We went to get Bella back over the weekend, and we left hurriedly to go get her and bring her back. And on the way, about halfway there, Sister Dickie decided to park where the ramp or the curb was about this tall. She says it wasn't. She says it's more down there somewhere, but it looked that tall to me. And she tried to jump it, and she couldn't jump it, so she fell all over it and tore up her face and her leg and was bleeding. And when I looked up from my phone, I realized what she had done. Man, did I get upset, mad at her and the world and the devil and everything for what had happened, because she had scratched herself up, and I felt a little guilty myself, so I was just a little angry at the situation. I wanted to get a hold of that devil and take him by the horns. Anybody ever been mad at the devil? But anyhow, I said, honey, let's turn around and go back. She said, no, we can't do that. We got to go on. We went on. She suffered for several days, and we got back, and she went to the doctor. Nothing's broken, and there's no blood clots. We thank the Lord for that. But she was unable to be here tonight. She is watching online. Thank the Lord for online. And she realized, she said, I'm not going to be there to tell you when to cut it off. She said, you want me to text you at 8 o'clock? I said, no, I think I can remember it. But if you hear my phone ring in a little bit, you'll know it's her telling me it's time to stop. I had thought about maybe doing a little bit less of a message tonight and preach on Jesus wept. Why don't you stand? Let's do the same and go home. But then I thought that probably would not be enough for your effort to come to the house of the Lord tonight. So I asked the Lord what He'd have me speak on. And I'm going to speak tonight from 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. I am thankful to have each of you here tonight. I'm thankful to be a part of this local congregation and be able to come and worship. And I just thank the Lord for His strength and love that He has given to me and my wife, that we've been able to arise and begin to do things that we've always done and get our strength back. That's what we are both striving for. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. If you would turn there with me, please, and read along. I will not hopefully be very long, and if I am, the phone will ring. I am very dry from the medication I take, so I do have to have water. The scripture says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. I love that scripture. I've quoted it many times in my life. I've experienced it many times in my life. I have felt the breath of the devil as he breathed down my neck, chasing after me and trying to affect me and trying to attack me and my family. And I know that you probably have too. You can't be a Christian, blood-bought, Holy Ghost-filled, living a godly life and not have experienced some of the roaring of the lion in your life. That's just the very outcome of living a life for God, a devout life, that old Satan's going to do his best to try to destroy you. But I want, if you would, to go with me to the scripture. And it looks like here that I have, I hope to the Lord that I have typed in what I needed to, but it looks like I may have left a little bit out of it. So give me just a second. I was trying to do this on a new computer program, and I got a little bit of it, and I didn't get it all. So hold on just a minute. That's what these Bibles are still good for. Let's see if I can find it with my
glasses. Back in the old day, they would have called out somebody that could see and read, that had an education, and asked them to read the scripture, and then they would have preached from it. But I'm going to try to do my best to find it here right quick. All these little pages stick together. There's this Bible. It's about 30 years old, maybe older. 1 Peter chapter 5.
Verse 1. Sure, I'm doing that right. Please forgive me. No, I'm sorry. Okay, verse 5. That's where it's at. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 5. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace unto those. Well, pray for me, church. Give a grace to the humble. I learned a long time ago as a child of God that I would fight many battles, that there would be times when I was doing my all to live for the Lord, that Satan would come against me with full force and he would try to attack me as well as my family. I know you have experienced the same thing. But I hear the word of the Lord tonight as Peter tried to speak to the adults or to the elders of the church and those who had accepted Jesus. And he said to them that it is important that we humble ourselves as younger people to those that are elders in the church. It seems like today that we have still a good standing of that. I think this church understands the need for younger to submit to the elder, to follow their leading and their guiding. But I noticed, my wife was talking about just a few weeks ago, she said, honey, I don't know if you've noticed, but we've been elevated. She said, the elders are certainly passing on and going on, and we're moving on up in rank ourselves. And I know you feel the same thing. It's so very important that we as elders, that we do our part to encourage and support and help the younger. I see that support here tonight as you have come to the house of the Lord to worship and praise him and glorify his name. But how very important it is for those that are under a leadership to submit themselves to the pastor, to the elders, to those that have walked a long time in this faith. How much we can save ourselves heartache and pain by learning from those who are over us in the Lord. I know that when I first got in the church, I really didn't know how to pray, even though I'd heard my mother and dad pray many times. My mother would get down and pray and weep and cry, and I would hear her. We had daily prayer in the house as mother and dad were in the ministry, but also had a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, and mother would lead us in prayer. But as a child, I did not pay attention to it till I got filled with the Holy Ghost, and I remember thinking, I really don't know how to pray. And the Lord seemed to impress on my heart to find someone in the church that I loved and respected, and so I picked out one of the elders in the church that had a godly look and walk and saying and testimony. And I found myself, when the altar service was or when the service was going on, to find them and to sort of get along beside them. And as they prayed and as they worshiped and as I mocked what they did, I learned from them. You know, children mock what their parents do. I don't know if you noticed, but little toddlers, when mom and dad are raising their hands, the next thing you know, they'll be raising their hands and clapping their hands. They'll be dancing in the spirit. I've got a video of Amberlynn, and she's standing there and she's just swinging that hand and she's clapping them. She's patting that leg. Boy, she's having church because everybody else in the church is doing it. It is so very important as elders of the church that we set an example to those that are around about us, that they may see what it is to worship and praise the Lord. I have been concerned during COVID. I told my wife, I said, you know, the children do not get to experience a lot of Pentecostal worship this day and hour because they're missing out on many of our services. Used to, you'd go Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday, you were there for the singing, the preaching, the prayer meetings. And I took my granddaughters to the prayer room tonight, and they did not really want to go to the prayer room, but yet they did, and they sat on the bench, and they was pretty respectful. And I prayed like I always pray because I wanted them to see the importance of going to the prayer room and praying. I don't always get to do that myself. I come wobbling in sometimes a little bit late, frustrated at myself. I try to pray beforehand and during the week, but it is so very important that we have these particular types of examples examples in the life of our young people? How many of you elders tonight are doing your best to set an example before others? How needful it is for your grandchildren and children and people in the church to see the life that you live before them, praying and singing and worshiping. I know that I don't stand and worship like I used to, and there's times when they're running around the church, I just think, boy, I wish I could do that. Sister Vicki, when you get out there and get to having a good time, I just want to jump in behind you, but I know that lead foot there, it's so hard to get it going, and I'm always so afraid I'm going to fall. Sometimes I'm afraid to even go to the altar because I'm afraid somebody will bump me and over I'll go. But, you know, I love to worship the Lord. I used to, I'd run in the Spirit just as much as anybody, and sometimes I'd be the only one. I remember one time the Spirit hit me, and I took off running, and this big, tall lady, I won't call her name, but I used to, but I won't do it anymore. But anyhow, she's a big, tall lady, had a big, nice, fine hairdo, and she was taller than me. But I took out, and I started running. There wasn't nobody else in the church running, about 200, 300 people. And I took out running, and all of a sudden, I got a glimpse of her behind me. And I got back to my pew, Sister Cindy, and I was about ready to sit down because I'd had my run, and I felt good, and I felt the power of God. And I noticed she was awful close to me. And I was afraid that if I turned in, she's going to knock me down. So I took another lap around the church. And I got to tell you, that lap around the church was the most powerful lap I think I've ever had. That Spirit behind me, I heard her hollering out and giving that old war whoop, woo! And she was coming in behind me, and I was sort of looking behind me thinking, Lord, help me to get back there. I took off running as fast as I could, but she was taller than me, had longer legs, and she was catching up to me. But finally, we got back to the front, and she started dancing in the Spirit, and I was able to slip back in where I needed to be. But what an example it was to run and to worship and have a good time in the Lord. I know it's not all about physical, and I know that we want to be respectful and honorable in the house of the Lord, but how powerful it is to have those times in the Spirit when the power of God just moves and ministers. I love to see the different ones in our church step out and worship and enjoy the things of the Lord. And the Bible tells me that as a younger person, I need to honor those that are over me in the Lord by things that they say, by examples that they do, by the life that they live. And the Bible also says to me that I am, according to the scripture here, that I am to resist the proud things and to be of a one, to subject myself to another, to be able to submit and to submit myself to the authority and the teaching and the training and the guidance and the counsel of those that are over me in the Lord. That I am to humble myself. You know, humility is not a thing we see much in our world today. But if you are a child of God and filled with the Spirit, we are encouraged to put on the very robes, it says here, of holiness and righteous living and humbling ourselves before the mighty power and presence of God. Humility means it is a state of being humble. A true humility is seeing others as we truly are, fallen in sin and helpless without God. I know that I am lost and undone without my God. I realize tonight that I'm only here and able to speak or preach because of the salvation that was given to me by the Lord Jesus Christ. I understand tonight that I only overcome the obstacles in my life, and sometimes I breathe and I walk and I live because of the Holy Ghost that rises up inside of me. Like Brother Tanner said tonight, there are times that I just want to kick back in that recliner and turn that telephone on and get the service. But I want to tell you something, it's powerful and it's good, and I've shouted and I've wept and I've cried, but there's nothing like coming to the house of the Lord. The Bible says in the last days that we are not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. And yet you find it hard. COVID's gone now. We can put that aside. Disease and sickness is gone. I'm still careful. I don't want nobody sneezing on me. I don't want nobody touching me or touching my face. You know, I don't want to breathe in my face or coughing on me. I want to be careful because I don't want anything. I've already had it. And I just want to be well and able to go. And yet there seems to be excuses why we can't find ourselves in the house of the Lord. I've used them. I've been so tired, I thought, man, I wish it. Well, isn't it funny how Wednesday night you get so tired? I found on Wednesday night, sometimes I get so tired, I'm just thinking, Lord, I wish it wasn't Wednesday night. And yet to go to the house of God, whenever it is, it's such a blessing and an honor to come together. My granddaughter said tonight, she said, Papa, on the way to church, she said, last time when we had the jams class, she said, they had the best time that they've ever had. I said, what happened, baby? She said, oh, Papa, they turned the tables over and they was playing and doing this and
and doing that and learning this. And I said, you know, honey, it's funny, but the very service that we choose to miss usually end up being the very best. Is that right? As a young man, I used to hate to miss, because that would be the very night that something good would happen. Old brother so-and-so would turn loose and shout and have the time, and they'd be talking about it for weeks. Sister so-and-so would run around the altar or around the church, and she'd chase some little old skinny boy and make him run until she was shouting her hair down. I'm talking about the power and the anointing of God. I'm talking about the love of God and the ability to enter the house of God. You can sit in that pew or that recliner. You can watch it on TV or on the monitor, on the little phone, and you can enjoy it and hear the word and be blessed. I know I've done it. But I'll tell you something. When that shout hits you in the house of God, there's nothing like it. Oh, when the power of God comes down in the church and the saints are joined together, there is nothing like it. He said, humble yourselves. Put on that cloak of humility, that cloak of remembering that without God you are lost and undone. He went on to say that we are to exalt, rise to a higher rank or position of greater power, and make noble in character and dignity in our life, that you and I are not to sit where we've always sat and to live where we've always lived and to walk like we've always walked, but it is our responsibility as elders and the church to find that place of exhortation. It is also important that you and I exalt the Lord. Let us come together. Let us lift our hands and our voices and exalt the name of the Lord. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Let us lift him up together. Let us glorify the name of the Lord. And watch what happens when we begin to exalt him. When I begin to exalt Jesus. When I begin to talk about him. When I begin to talk about the power and the anointing of the Lord. I all of a sudden feel elevated myself. I all of a sudden feel stronger. I all of a sudden feel better. I feel lifted up because I have lifted up that one that is truly worthy of all praise and glory and honor. Somebody give him praise. Let me get a drink of water. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all ye be subject one to another. Now look, you got my pew. I done got used to sitting here. And I hate to say anything, but get out of my pew. I'm comfortable here. Visitor comes in, they don't know where to sit, and they get in my pew. What are they doing? You know, I don't mind you coming in, but we got plenty of pews you can sit, don't sit in mine. Why is it they always get our pew? Get right where I wanted to sit. I feel comfortable there. Well, I like sitting behind those Joneses because it hits them, then it hits me. Amen. Then it just keeps on rolling. I like it there. That's my place. You know, and I feel comfortable there. Somebody come in and get it. And if I'm not careful, I get a little attitude. I remember going to some churches where they'd leave their pillows and their blankets and stuff, you know. When you get old like this, you get cold. I don't know about y'all, but I've gotten cold a couple times. I bought me a blanket. I hadn't brought it yet. I got me a little fan that wads up into a little knot, and I put it in my pocket a couple of times. I've been wanting to pull it out and fan myself. It pops up to a nice-sized fan. But I get embarrassed because I hate for everybody to think I'm cold. Look over there and see that blanket on my lap this age. I'm on blood thinners. My goodness, what do you expect? I'm going to be cold once in a while. I'm fat. I get hot once in a while. You know what I'm talking about. Uncomfortable, you know, and get a little miserable in the state that I'm in, and I find myself not being able to do, but to get jealous because somebody come in and got favored over me. You know, she hadn't been going here long, and they ask her to sing. Why, he hadn't been here long. They already got him ushering and taking offerings. That's our money. Amen. What are they doing using him to take the offering? Now, I don't feel bad about anybody. I don't want to be against anyone. Are y'all with me? It happens in the family, too. Mama loves him better than she does me. Papa loves her better than she does me. He does me. You know? Favor one another. Sister Lay, I'd just soon you got a blessing as me if I'm in the right spirit and full of the Spirit. I don't want to be cold, though. I sure rather wear that blanket if I have to.
And I really do like my pew, but I'd give it up for somebody to get a blessing. I sure wouldn't want to hurt nobody's feelings over a pew or a parking spot. I have one out there. I get it every Sunday just about. The other day, somebody got my park. They didn't know it was mine, but they got it. I had to walk two steps further. I did. Didn't hurt my feelings too bad, but just a second, flesh got a hold of me and said, well, I've been parking there for over a year now, I know, or more. I know y'all don't ever do that, but really I should be thankful that we even have somebody to park in that spot. Amen. That we have somebody to fill the pew. That we have somebody to take the offering and to sing the song and to, you know what I'm talking about, don't you? Favoring one another. Why is it that jealousy is a part of our, it's just natural, isn't it? And we got to crucify that flesh because it will destroy a church so quickly if we begin to look at others and say, oh, they're more than me. Honey, when you already know that you're nothing, anybody's more than you. Amen? Ain't that okay? You got it solved from the very beginning. I ain't nobody anyhow. Can I say ain't? I ain't nobody nohow. So why should I get all bent out of shape and puffed up if somebody gets used? I don't have much sense and I don't have much knowledge. And what I did have, I've just about forgot. And my wife, Brother Ronnie, she can tell me. And in a few minutes, I say, honey, I know you told me what we're having for supper. But I've done forgot. And she'll go, okay, we're having this. I'll go on about my way. And I'll think about setting the table and helping her. And I'll go, honey, I know you told me twice now. This is true. She's listening. I know you told me twice now, but I really did forget what you said. By that time, she's sort of liking me to write it down. She would prefer that I put what we're going to have. Sometimes she even put a menu on the refrigerator so I won't eat that food up through the week because she's got her menus planned out. I know none of y'all do that. My wife's got it planned out, and it's in the refrigerator just right. And if I go to the refrigerator and get it out and put it back in the wrong shelf, you know what I'm talking about. Preferring one another and loving one another and sharing. It's just as important here and at home and with the workforce and out in the community as it is anywhere. But all of these things are part of being a child of God and witnessing and worshiping and loving the Lord. And he said that we are to be humble in our spirit and that we are to love one another and that we are to be completely clothed with humility. For the Bible says God resisteth the proud. Now, when I lived down in a place where a lot of people are, trying to be nice, I literally could tell you the truth that some of them walked around like this. And they would do it in a row sometimes. Usually it was the young ladies because they thought they were so fine and so pretty and they had that hair done up so good and they looked so fine in their new outfit. But how many of us sometimes we don't mean to, but we get that little bit of spirit of pride. I got me a new car. Got me a new home. I got a little bit of money in the bank. That's the best thing. If you got $2 in the bank, you're doing good, better than you were. Amen. Be careful of all things. To love and to share and to give and to be faithful one to another. Humble, sharing, knowing who you are. God resists proud spirits. You know what I'm talking about. People who think they're better than others. People who act like they think they're better than others. God resists. I'm so glad. You know, this is one of the most beautiful congregations of people that are humble and sweet and meek. And there's been times I said to my wife, why don't we move somewhere where the doctor's offices and stuff, we don't have to travel so far. And then I think, I don't know that I could make it without this church. I'm serious. I don't know that I could make it without my little sister singing and worship. And old Brother Tanner, I like him. He was out there kissing on his wife in the hallway a while ago, and I just loved it. I've been waiting for that for several years, and he just got him some sugar right before church started. And I just thought it was precious. I just love God's people, and I love this church, and sweet and loving and good. Oh, I'm sure there's a few. I don't know them, but I'm sure there's a few that get a little bent out of shape, and it happens. It happens in my home and my family. But, you know, it is so beautiful to have a church where people love one another and love the pastor and love the song leaders and love
love the prayer warriors and love the elders and love on our brother John David. I just get jealous sometimes. I try not to, but here you are, and you're much younger than me, I know, and you just get up and you just worship and stand and come down and pray for the sick, and I just love it. Amen. He don't know to sit down and give up, do you? Amen. I remember this little lady when I come the first time to preach a revival. I was just basically a kid myself, and she wasn't much more. And they weren't going to church at the time, and I'll never forget seeing you, and I just loved you from the start. And see, this couple is such a blessing to this church. And the ministry, a lot of people don't know the ministry that they have behind the scenes. Brother John David just ministered to me this week. Nobody knew. He just shot a little text. You never know what a card, Sister Dawn, what a call, what a text can mean when somebody's going through something that nobody else knows. Because you can't always look at the face and look at the person and know when they're going through a valley. And that one word of encouragement, that one prayer, can lift somebody up and cause them to go so much further. I got to quit crying. I can't read. Okay, let me get focused again. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. Humble. I'm humble. Everybody look at me. I'm humble. I'm so humble. That's not what he's talking about. I'm so humble, you just walk over me and just tell me whatever you want to tell me. Treat me any way you want to treat me. That's not humble. God expected us to have a backbone, to stand up straight, to have good posture, to come in like we love the Lord and like we love others. But humility is being able to put on the cloak of the fact that I know that I'm no better than anybody else. I'm just as good as anybody else, but I'm no better. And we have a God who loves us, who died for us, who rose for us, that fills us with His Spirit, that fills His house and blesses us and lifts us up. He doesn't love me any more than He loves you. He don't love you any more than He loves me. If He didn't give me that fine car like He gave you, if He didn't give me the home like He gave you, my God still loves me. I've learned to be happy in a little tiny house. I've learned to live in a camper and be happy. I've learned to have a little bit of money and have none. I've learned to have a little bit of groceries, and I sure do like it when my refrigerator's full. But I've learned whatever state I am in therewith to be content. Do you hear what I'm saying? As a child of God, you can put on the humbleness of God, the humility, the meek spirit, and still be able to serve and worship and praise the Lord, because the Bible says that God resists the proud, but you take a humble spirit, a humble person who knows who they are in God. He'll lift them up. He will exalt them. He will put you in the position or the place or the area that you need to be at the right time. For God knows who needs to be where they are. Did He not say to Esther, Esther, you have come to this place at this time in your life because God chose you to be the queen, because you're going to bless your people and you're going to deliver them through you. He knows how to exalt you in due time. Amen. Don't ever get upset because you don't have what others have. Don't ever be upset because somebody got a blessing you didn't. Well, that's a shame, for I just get thrilled when anybody gets in the spirits and start shouting and praising the Lord. I don't know that I ever leave dry. I may not leave shouting like I do sometimes. I may not leave crying like I do sometimes, but I have never left this house that my pastor and the worship team didn't just lift me up and make me feel wonderful. Amen. Because I'm not looking for anything but the love and the power and the anointing of God. I am looking for the word from God. I am looking to worship God. I am looking for Him to lift me up in His presence and His Spirit. And the Bible says that God will lift you up in due season, and He will bless you if you humble yourself under the, somebody say, mighty hand of God. Why should I fear sickness? Why should I fear death? Why should I fear drought? Why should I fear the government or the president or who's there and who? Why should I fear any of these things? I'm serving a God who has a mighty hand, and He's able to lift us up. Oh, I get concerned about things like you do. I pay attention to things like you do. But I know a God who will take care of me through anything I face. Amen. Whoo, my Lord. I feel the Holy Ghost here tonight.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. That he may exalt you in due time. Then you are to cast all your care upon him. Brother Tanner, do you know the devil hates you? He wants to discourage you. He wants to put you down. He wants to say ugly things about you and make you think that nobody in the church loves you. I was praying for you before this little lady said yes, because I just knew she was going to miss it. I was praying, oh God, don't let my sister miss this good thing. I've loved this boy ever since he was 16 years old. I talked with his granny. Amen. And I love him, and I could see such a love. And I told him that in a text. I said, I've been praying for this relationship for a long time. How old are you now? You're born 16, aren't you? Amen. Because I love those two people. They are such a blessing to the church. And I wanted them to have a good marriage and, such a good relationship. I want it for you too. Brother Jeff, when they were talking about you the other day, I remember way back when you was just a little kid. And you started coming to the church, and you was a little skinny thing. Amen. You're skinny again, too. That's good. I'm not. I'm going to get there, hopefully. But I remember you struggling, Jeff. And I remember you wanted so bad to live for the Lord, and the devil would just slap you around and kick you around and accuse you. He did so many things, and then look what God has brought you to, such a blessing, such an anointing, such a ministry. And look, he's not through yet. He's not through yet, brother. He's going to do great work for that. Sister Vicky, you're such an honor to that man. When you stand there along beside him, there ain't no other mate that fits that man any better than you. And just to watch out together, I'm talking about all of you. There's so many. You know, Brother Lee and I was there from the beginning, amen, when y'all was just dating. All y'all was just messing around and just liking each other. And then you unified, and then you wanted babies, and the old devil said, I hate you. You ain't going to have no kids. You ain't going to do nothing. Now that second one's fixing to get married to a nice young man. I want to tell you something. My wife and I just shouted and got happy because God answered another prayer. Don't you understand how good God is to you and to me? I hadn't had all of mine answered yet. I hadn't had everything done yet, but I can rejoice with you while you're getting your blessing so that when I get mine, you can rejoice with me too. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. He's a great and a mighty God. Brother Ronnie, all these years you've drove that bus and walked in that children's church and you've done things. Oh, the devil hates you for sure. Amen. Sister Joan, he hates you. He would like to kill, steal, and destroy from you. Amen. He don't like you at all. And you thought everybody liked you, didn't you? He don't like you. And he'd like to turn as many people against you as he could. And he'd like for you, if nothing else, for you to at least think it was. Because he hates you. Sister Nell, he sure don't like you. Amen. He'd just accuse and he'd just come against you and attack your body, knock your arm halfway off, put it back on three times. Amen. One of my friends said that. She said, oh, I knew you because I could tell by the way you walked. Oh, well, thank you. When I get my new hip, I'm going to try to walk a little straighter. But thank you. I'm glad you at least knew me. You know, he hates you. He hates this church. Oh, but I love this church. I love the spirit I feel when I come in here. I look around and I think, you know, oh, we probably can improve in some areas. We might could do some things a little different now and then. Sure, who couldn't? I can do that in my home. I could sure improve. Yeah. Brother Ronnie, I got to thinking not long ago, about a year ago, Stephanie took a picture of y'all. And I got to thinking, if it hadn't been for y'all, I wouldn't have that little girl back there. That little daughter-in-law who stands by us, does things for us, eats at our table, eats our food up. Brings them little naughty-headed girls over every day, 7 o'clock, they knocking on my door. Old Amberlynn put my belt on tonight so I wouldn't miss a loop. Thank you. Thank you. I am so thankful for the things of God and how he's blessed me. Amberlynn, is that you sitting back? Bella, is that you sitting back there, honey? That's my grandbaby back there. Stand up, baby. They haven't seen you since you was a little 2-year-old shouting around. Come on, stand up. It won't hurt. They don't matter. They all know you. They basically helped raise you. Come on, baby. Don't be embarrassed. You're papa's girl. Come on. Stand up just for a second. There you go. Y'all give my grandbaby a hand clap. That little baby was dedicated here at this altar by Pastor Meyer. Amen. And I'm still holding to it. Amen. I watched her and Ty shout and hold hands. That little old Hindman girl. Ashley, she got a picture of them shouting. I just love to look at that little video, them just shouting around. I got one of hers doing the same thing a little bit later. God's good, isn't he? How many of you thank God for this church? I'm trying to hurry. I'm fixing to get a call. I got to hurry. Brother Darren, I'm fixing to do it. Hold on just another minute. Now, he said, casting all your care upon him. Do you know what it is to cast? Let me tell you, because I looked it up. To cast is to throw all your anxieties, all your cares, and to just simply fall upon him with every problem that you have. I don't have no problem with falling. Lord, here I am. I'm on the ground again. I get tickled anymore. Brother Meyer preached that one time. He said, sometimes things happen, I just get to laughing. And I thought to myself, well, Brother Meyer, things ain't funny sometimes to me. And then I started falling a lot, and I found myself on the ground and couldn't get up. And I'd always fall in a place where there was nothing to get a hold of, so I'd have to crawl. You ever seen something like this crawl? Thank God I have no neighbors. And I would get tickled to the place that I almost couldn't get up. And then when I get a hold of myself, I'd finally find something to pull myself up to. The other day, while we was on the trip, now, we didn't have nobody but me and her, and she's crippled. And she's got a big old swollen knee, and it's blue all the way around. She's got a scraped up face. Laying in the motel, I go out and try and get everything ready. Good husband. She don't know that, but I am a good husband. Anyhow, I went out and I started to get the car ready for her. I dropped the key. I looked down like that and kicked that key clean underneath the car beside me. I said, oh, Lord, here we go. Jesus. I was praying right out here in front of everybody, probably 100 people in that motel, three-story high. I get down, I reach underneath that car, and I finally get it out. We're ready to go. I'm already cleaned up. Finally get a hold of the key way up underneath the car. Why'd I kick it? I thought it was a rock. Amen. And then I realized it was my key. Got the key, and I thought, Jesus, help me. Now, I'm serious. Jesus, help me. Oh, Lord, I would that somebody would come along and give me a right arm of lifting. I did. I find that a lot. And I said, Lord, I don't know I got the strength to straighten these legs out. This one's broke. This one's been operated on, and it's got a nerve damage. But he touched me. I lifted my poor, weak body up and stood up. I didn't laugh that time. But I said, well, Lord, we've done it one more time. You know what I'm talking about? You can get yourself in some predicaments that you just got to cast all your care upon him. But the Bible says, for he careth for you. Now, I hadn't even started preaching my message yet. I'm about to get there. Brother Darren is going to put on a video. I don't know how much of it we're going to watch. I didn't find exactly the one I wanted. But the scripture says, for the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Back in the Bible times, Brother Griffith, they knew what it was to see a lion attack because they were all around. They even used them to attack the Christians. They knew what this scripture was talking about as a roaring lion. He seeketh whom. We don't have a roaring lion running loose anymore. And so sometimes we don't understand the nature of that roaring lion. But the Bible says that the devil is just like the nature of that lion. Brother, would you just play that and we'll see how far we're going to get. It's not going to have any voice. I'm going to be the voice. I'm going to give you what I think. Let's watch it for just a minute. Now, here's them old lions. And they don't come in just ones. How many of you know trouble don't come in just one? But it comes in a pack. And so I sees the church there, them old water buffaloes, and says, look at them fine, big, healthy Christians. We're going to have a meal tonight. And so they did look at him, not even afraid. But I want you to notice the water buffalo are concerned, but they're not afraid. And here's a big old drought, and those water buffalo are trying to get to the water. They are thirsty and dry. And the Bible says when you're thirsty and dry, look up to the sky, it's beginning to rain. And they see that big old water hole, but between them and that water hole is that enemy, them old lion. And they're thirsty, and they want to get there because they need that life supporting. It's hot in that old desert there. And that lion says, let them come up here.
I don't care that they're living. I don't care that they're walking. I don't care that they're going. But they ain't going to get to the water. They're not going to get a blessing tonight. They're not going to touch God tonight. They're not going to get what they need. But those old buffalo, look at them. They just keep on walking and go right on. And just about the time they get to where they're going to get a blessing, them lions start to move. And they say, we're going to run around them. We're going to get a hold of them. We're going to destroy them. And we're going to have us a meal. We'll take down as many as we can. Look at all them hungry lions. Those lioness, they know how to attack them and pull them down. Sister Cindy wants a female cat because she said they hunt better than the males. See all them female lions there hunting? They're going to take down those animals. And they're going to have a good meal. But what happened is they spooked the crowd. And they began to stampede. But they didn't run and flee. They began to gather together. Look at them crowding together here. They all turned their backsides to one another, and they began to look at the enemy. They began to make up their mind, we're going to fight this enemy. Watch what happens here with these water buffalo. One says, I'm not afraid of the devil. I got Jesus. I got the Holy Ghost. I got the anointing. I got the power in Jesus' name. I'm coming against my enemy. And that old saint of God begins to come against that old lion and begins to change. Look at him. That old lion could take him down and kill him and destroy and eat him. What did he do? He hit him. He said, here, take that. I'm not going to fall into the trap. I'm not going to be afraid. But I'm going to resist you and I'm going to fight you and I'm going to destroy you because I know God's on my side. He'll lift me up. I want you to notice the crowd. You know, the enemy, you just keep looking, I won't talk. The enemy will try to get you alone, even if you're healthy. And he'll try to get you wounded. He'll take one good bite out of you. And so that it'll get weak and you'll begin to bleed. And then if he can get you to thinking nobody loves me, nobody cares about me, there's no hope for me. And if he can get you all alone by yourself, then he's going to come back, and he's not going to give up. He's going to jump on you one more time. Then he's going to holler, hey, y'all, come on over here. We got one that's weak and down. But when the crowd stands together, when the church unifies, if the devil can get in the church, if he can break it up or discourage it, if he can get in the home, if he can break up your marriage or your relationship or your ability to pray together and believe, if he can just do that, he'll get a stronghold, and he'll kill, steal, and destroy. For the Bible says, as a roaring lion, he seeks those whom he may devour. Amen. But look at them. They're standing together. And when all of a sudden the lion thinks they are in control, they are in the center of the crowd, and the water buffalo surround them, and they're in the center now. And so they are the ones that are being persecuted with horns, with ability, with power, with muscle. They begin to attack those lions until all of a sudden they begin to run them off. Brother, that's good. Thank you. I want to tell you something that is so symbolic of what the scripture is saying here. As a roaring lion, the devil comes and he roars and he hollers and he accuses and he attacks and he does everything. He may affect your body now and then. He may affect your finances now and then. He may affect your home now and then. But I want to tell you something. If you'll get with the saints of God and not run from them, if you'll go to an elder, if you'll go to a prayer meeting, if you'll begin to say, I need the strength of the body, y'all, I want to tell you, you can attack your enemy, and you can overcome. I feel strong, Brother Jeff, when you're with me. I feel strong, Brother John David, when you send me, Brother Griffith, when you send me a word and say, I'm with you. The devil may be attacking. He may be affecting. But when my brothers and sisters begin to stand with me, I all of a sudden feel an encouragement and a power. And God says this, humble yourself, and I'll exalt you in due time. My Lord and my God, I'm here to tell you tonight what the Lord has laid on my heart. He said, be sober, clear-headed, and alert. He wants to get your mind all mixed up with this world, with the problems, with the government, with the presidency, with the gas prices. He said, you keep a clear head. What's my clear head? I am for sure that no matter what comes my way, my God is able to deliver me out of it. Amen. I don't care what the circumstances say. I don't care what they have done. I don't care where they have gone. My God is able to save to the uttermost.
And I'm not going to quit praying for them, Sister Dot. And I'm not going to quit believing until God does. I'm going to keep a clear head. If you get all messed up in your thinking and you get all confused and you get all anxious, I want to tell you the battle is just about lost. But if you'll keep a clear head, be sober. Don't be drunk on the things of this world. Don't be drunk on the problems of this life. But keep a clear head and stay alert. If you'll be vigilant, watchful, observant, if you'll keep a sharp eye, if you will resist, if you'll keep form, and if you will avoid, and if you will restrain and stop from doing nothing from God, but you will resist and stand strong, I'm here to tell you, God is going to come into the midst of that, and he's going to lift you up, and he's going to anoint you, and he's going to give you power and strength that you can. How many of you know it? He's already done it for you. Give him a big hand clap of praise. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He said, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. This is what he said, do. Sister Tammy, he said, whom resist steadfast. Resist steadfast in the faith. Steadfast means to be faithful, committed, devoted, and true. Well, I just don't know. I just don't know if that is important. I don't want to do that no more. I don't want to go to church, and I don't want to sing, and I don't want to pray. And I go to church, but I just want to sit there, and I'm not going to give because I don't have much money, and church got more money than me. He said, be faithful. Be steadfast. You know what you've been taught to do from the beginning. It's still working today. God still got the plan for you today. He said, as you give, it shall be given to you. How many of you still believe that? Amen. He said, as you humble yourself, he'll lift you up. How many of you still believe that today? He said, resist, keep form, stay in unified, stay with the body. He said, stay steadfast, faithful, committed, devoted, and true. How many of you still are steadfast? You're faithful today. Have you fallen by the wayside any? That's a business of the devil. He wants you not to be faithful. Amen. He wants you to sort of compromise. It's like give up a little bit because then he can start taking the ground from you. But if you put your feet in that ground and you say, this ground is mine, this life is mine. This salvation is mine. This Holy Ghost is mine. This anointing is mine. This church is mine. My God is mine. My family is mine. My children are mine. I'm not giving in to you, devil. I'm resisting you. And if the body will come together like the ladies do in prayer meeting, like they do in the prayer room, like we do in worship, like we're doing tonight, when you unify, the devil gets afraid because all of a sudden he's in the center. We've got his number. Oh, we know where he is. Yes, he can kill. Yes, he can destroy. Yes, he can roar. But my God, whom I serve, is able to deliver me from everything that comes against me. Y'all heard the phone yet? I'm about done. Be faithful. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, seeking those whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith. Resisting, 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 resisting. Every time he comes at you to try, resist him in the faith. Brother Griffith, I cannot make it out there on my own. Sometimes I have a real independent loner spirit. That's me. I've always been that way. I'm just me. I just shut myself up and off. I cannot stand that way. I know that. We have to unify. We have to trust. We need one another. Amen. You cannot make it on your own by yourself, church. We have got to unify. We have got to pull together. We have got to do what the word here asks us to do. But resist steadfast, knowing that the same afflictions. How many of you got afflictions tonight? Amen. How many of you have children that are lost? How many of you are the groceries is just a little bit expensive. That gas, it may go back up again. Yeah. How many of you are on Social Security? You're hoping they don't cut that out. Okay, come on. Afflictions. You have afflictions. He said, cast your cares upon. Throw yourself on God, on His mercies. Trust Him and believe Him and watch Him bring it to pass. Knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished, they're done, they're finished, they're overcome by your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, God's grace, spontaneous, unmerited gift of life and liberty by the thorough and thoughtful God, divine influence of God, the grace of God, salvation is given freely, operating individuals for their regeneration and for their sanctification. I cannot do it on my own. I cannot be regenerated. I cannot be saved. But by the power and the anointing of God, I've got to stay in the body. I've got to stay in the spirit. I've got to steadfastly stay in this thing in order to resist. Who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus. After that we have suffered a while. Now, Brother Griffith, you could probably do a good job with that one. After we've suffered a while. A lot of people think they're just going to pop right out of this world and right into heaven and nothing's going to happen. Honey, you are living in the time of the tribulation. It is up on us now. I don't know exactly. This man could probably tell you better. He's more alert and educated and trained in that. But I know this. It's here. At any time, things could just start snowballing. They already have. Things are happening that have never happened before. Amen. We're seeing things that we've never seen before. The Bible, we used to hear, there'd be a great falling away in the last days. Anybody seen a falling away? Be a great falling away in the last days. Know this. When it happens, he said, be faithful, more faithful than you'd ever been before. Forsake not the gathering of yourselves together, even more so as you see that day approaching. I get tired, I get weak, I want to stay home sometimes. But he said, don't forsake coming together and praying and believing, because in that you will find the strength and the power to overcome. He said that after you have suffered a while, we've suffered, we've been suffering, we're going through some things. He said, after you've suffered just a while, he said, he will make you perfect. Do you know what perfect means? He will make you improved. He'll make you better. He'll make you complete. He'll make you a model and example of Christianity. And when you come to that place, honey, you are rapture ready. That's what all this is about. He said he would establish you. He would make you firm. He would make you able to. How many of you found that you're able to go through more than you've gone before? You didn't think you could do it, but today you're able to overcome a whole lot more. You're not giving in like you used to give in. Amen? You finally got the hang of this thing. You know where you're at in Christ, and you're getting firm, and you're getting strong, and you're getting to be what God wants you to be. It's because this time is just about over. He said to strengthen, be stronger. He would build you up, and he would reinforce you. And not only that, he'll settle it. He'll finish it. He'll resolve it. How many of you are ready for the resolve? How many of you are ready for the end? How many of you are ready for this thing to be over? He said it's to be just that way in the very last days, that Satan will seek whom he may devour. But you can be perfect, you can be established, you can be strengthened, and you can be settled. Sister, would you come to the piano for just a moment? Now, I don't want to hold, I know all of you are saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, and on your way to heaven tonight. But I know if you're like me, you probably got some heartaches and some problems. And I want us to unify. No, I'm not going to ask you to come to the altar. It's time to go. The phone's going to ring. Stand with me for just a moment if you feel like it. If you can't, that's fine. But I want you right now to just pray a unified prayer with me, that God will help the weak amongst us to be strong, that God will make us sensitive to our brothers and sisters that are in need. We may not see them or not. We may think they just fallen by the wayside or they just gave up and quit. But we are not realizing that some people are struggling tonight and they need us to intercede. Would you just get a name or two, a person or two on your mind and begin to pray? What about those elders in the nursing home? I think Sister Billy Bolton, how faithful she was to people all her life. Brother Bob Bolton, Sister Lois Weems, all of these people that are there and they don't get to come to church like they
used to, and they're not with a body, and so they get with. Oh, let's lift them up tonight as we close. Let's believe for them right now and pray that God will help them. Let's pray for the young people that are struggling. Let's pray for the sinner children that are out there in sin. I just want to believe tonight. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, oh God, thank you for this church. Thank you for these elders and the faithfulness of these elders, God. Thank you for my brothers and sisters that, Lord, they bind together like a herd. And, Lord, they fight the enemy. And, Lord, they call upon your name in the name of Jesus. They resist the enemy. And when he comes in roaring and trying to destroy, they lift up a standard against him. They lift up the name of Jesus. They plead the blood of the Lamb. They cry out to you, God. Lord, I heard your word say that you would establish us. I heard your word say, Lord, that you would lift us up. I heard your word say, Lord, that you would not let us be overcome. But Lord, you would bring it all to pass. And God, you would establish us. And God, you would resolve it. And oh Lord, that we should be ready for that day and that hour that is upon us. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much because I feel a unified spirit in this place. And Lord, we promise before you right now, as we get ready to separate and leave this house, that Lord, we're going to do more to unify ourselves with the body. We're going to do more to unify ourselves with our pastor. That we're going to do more to unify ourselves with the Sunday school leaders and the elders of this church until we become the strength and the body and the people by the name of Jesus that is able to overcome this last hour in this world. Somebody say in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Give him a hand clap of praise, would you? Hallelujah. Amen. As you leave this house tonight and you go your separate way, I don't claim to be anything great. I know I'm not. But I hope to the good Lord that your heart is touched and you're encouraged. And if you know somebody that is suffering and they're being roared against and they're being attacked and their home is being attacked, take the word to them and say, honey, get up and let me hold your hand. Let me pray with you. Let me believe with you. I want to tell you, certain things only come by fasting and prayer. Did you hear what I said? Some things only come by fasting and prayer. Oh, I don't want to give up my food. I can't, brother. Do you understand? I take medication. I'm a diabetic. I know those things happen. But I want to tell you, you can fast a little bit. You can give up one cracker. Amen. Just an effort. And as you begin to, and I found this out myself, as you begin the effort to draw closer to God and to give up, I want to tell you, he's going to come in and he's going to make us the people in this hour that we need to be. One more time, give me a hand clap of praise. God bless you. Thank you for letting me speak to you tonight. Amen. When you're happy and you're done, God bless you. We'll see you Sunday morning. Amen. Bring somebody with you.
No fire can burn me. No battle can turn me. No mountain can stop me. 'Cause you hold my hand and I'm walking in your victory. 'Cause your power is within me. No giant can defeat me. 'Cause you hold my hand and no fire can burn me, nobody.